I call the meeting of the Wednesday, February 26th, 2025, House Veterans and Military Affairs Division to order. We begin our meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and Representative Brigauer, would you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin our agenda, first of all, let me apologize for being late. That's what happens when you get to the office at 7. You get carried away with other stuff. Let's run through some rules here. The division expects proper decorum at all time. All dialogue goes to the chair. Signs are not allowed in the committee room. There will be no outbursts or clapping. There is no standing or sitting in the walkways and aisles. If accommodation is needed, communicate with the sergeant staff. There will be consequences if there is a disruption. And thank you to the Sergeant-at-Arms staff who are present for helping maintain decorum in the committee room. We have two sets of meeting minutes to approve today. And Representative Duran, have you read the minutes?
I have and moved to have them approved.
Representative Duran moves to approve the minutes of the February 25th meeting. All opposed say aye. We'll do one for each. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, February 12th, 2025. What did I say?
You said 25th, and then you said all opposed.
Yeah, I'm fine. Good way to start a meeting. All right. Did they already say?
No, all in favor.
All in favor of the February 12th, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And they are approved. Motion carries, and the February 12th, 2025 minutes are approved. And Representative Hill, would you like to approve the February 19th minutes?
That would be the motion.
Thank you. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? And the approval for the minutes of February 19th, 2025 carries, and they are approved. First bill on the agenda is House File 26. Representative Roach, would you please approach the table? This bill was a direct referral to the Veterans and Military Affairs Division by State Government Finance Chair Representative Jim Nash. We will only discuss the provisions in this bill that relate to the governor's ability to call up the National Guard to respond to an emergency. Representative Roach, before you begin, I want to reiterate that this is a nonpartisan division. Please keep your remarks nonpartisan and refer only to titles and not individuals. And go ahead, Ms. Representative Roach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I appreciate the time that you give me to consider the importance of this bill. The Never Again Act is a response to the overreach and abuses of a runaway governor who invented new penalties for violation of his executive orders, pretending he's a legislator. Banned the free exercise of religion, violating the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and Minnesota's Constitution, Article 1, Section 16. Took private property in violation of the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and he banned nearly all non-emergency medicine. This issue is what motivated me to get involved and run for office, and it's a top issue for not only myself, but many constituents and Minnesotans across the state. The Never Again Act does four things. It removes the governor's unilateral ability to declare an emergency. It clarifies that a governor's executive orders are not law. It ensures that if another governor goes rogue, they go to jail for violating rights. It protects the people of the state from tyranny by ensuring their rights. It is a Bill of Rights. Mr. Chair, thank you for your time, and I appreciate the members for listening to me today.
Is there any discussion to the bill? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Bliss, and thank you, Representative Roach, for bringing this bill before us here today. In trying to keep my questions very brief and in the purview of this committee, I drew them up to have them here in front of me. So not my default setting, but forgive me if I'm reading a little bit here. I drew these up after watching the state government committee where this bill last stopped. And so I think my first question, and I have four quick questions in number, and I'll try to be very brief, Chair. The first question would be best answered by a representative from the DMA if one is present. Wonderful. Thank you.
Mr. Kerr.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Don Kerr, and I'm the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs.
And Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Bliss, and thank you for being here. And my first question has to do with the how this bill would interact with a declaration of an emergency, like those outlined in the bill, that interact with the governor's role as Commander-in-Chief of the Minnesota National Guard. And what would this do to his or her ability to protect and keep the people of Minnesota safe in the midst of an emergency?
Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Chair, Representative Phil, the bill would really have no effect on the governor's authority over the National Guard to call out the National Guard, because that authority is embedded in the Constitution and also in federal law. And so Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution precludes the states from passing laws that are contrary to federal law. So it will be a very difficult challenge to strip him of the powers to actually call out the National Guard. The agency's concern with the bill and how it would affect our ability to respond to emergencies is often when an emergency occurs in Minnesota, the National Guard is not the best resource to deal with the challenges that are brought forth in an emergency. For example, in 2012, there was a flood in Duluth caused by a torrential downpour of rain. And there was a really bad situation. The city fathers and the leadership in Duluth identified that their biggest problem was to remove debris from ditches and culverts, which required heavy equipment that the Minnesota National Guard did not possess. And consequently, through the emergency management process laid out in the emergency operations plan, once the governor had declared the emergency, the Department of Transportation was able to respond to that very rapidly, very effectively, more effectively than the National Guard could have, and probably a lot cheaper. And our concern with the bill is the elimination of that authority early in the process of an emergency for the governor to be able to take that kind of a response, and therefore putting additional pressure on the National Guard. If it's the only tool that he has available, the governor will be forced to use the National Guard in situations that may not be appropriate for the National Guard to be used or most appropriate.
Thank you. Thank you for that response. And, you know, as we all know, no two emergencies walk and talk alike. And so having those tools at the disposal of the governor for him or her to use is of the utmost importance. Thank you for your help this morning. And my next question, and maybe it's a representative of the DMVA, that if one's available to answer the next question.
Thank you, Chair and members. For the record, my name is John Kelly. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Director, for your help this morning. And a really quick question. The bill in front of us, the question here is, does this bill, and maybe more accurately stated, could this bill impact state soldiers assistance program? And what ways might that impact the program? And could it negatively impact our brave women and men in uniform?
Mr. Kelly.
Chair, members, House File 26 it would be more problematic with respect to our disaster relief grants. So in Administrative Rule 9055, there are state soldiers disaster program that is only activated when there is a declared emergency. So if this bill was to pass, the trigger event that's in rules right now for us to be able to start that program would be repealed. And so we would likely have to do new administrative rulemaking. So it would delay us getting relief out. We most recently did that with the flooding last year in southeastern Minnesota.
Yeah. Representative Hill.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Kelly. And in hoping to better, go down the path of continuing to better understand the full impact of this bill, my question is, if my research is correct, the last three peacetime emergencies that have been called, you referenced the flooding recently, We also had a severe winter storm in February 23, and also in February 23, we had the stranded motorists that were in need of aid. Are these peacetime emergency declarations no longer an option under this proposal for our governor to utilize?
Mr. Kelly.
Chair, Representative, as I said, right now this bill, if passed, would repeal the trigger event that's in Administrative Rule 9055. And so, you know, at least a summary level analysis of the bill, it would have an impact on our ability potentially to get those grants out to even start the program, or it would delay it until we could do rulemaking, which is not a fast process.
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Bliss. And thank you, Mr. Kelly. That helps kind of lead me to my next question. This is maybe more for the author of the bill. If there are impacts that may inhibit the ability of our current or future governor to protect and save the lives of Minnesotans by utilizing the services of the National Guard, do you have any concerns about the language of the bill in front of us here today?
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the question, Representative. The basis of this bill was to protect citizens from the overreach that happened during the COVID lockdown, right? Many businesses were closed down. Family members were stripped from their right to be able to be with their loved ones in the hospital on their dying days. Destroyed businesses. So this bill was a direct result of that.
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Bliss, and thank you, Representative Roach. Again, the concern, you know, that this bill and the language as it currently stands leads me to is to diminish the ability of the governor to save and protect the lives of Minnesotans in the case of an emergency. And, you know, when I look at the language of the bill, my assumption would be that such a declaration under this bill would require the convening of the Minnesota State Legislature, which could lead to a delay costing Minnesotans' life. And those concerns would only be exacerbated by the passage of minutes and hours. My last question, Representative Roach, is in your previous committee hearing that I watched, you indicated that the intent of this bill would prevent a governor from, in your words, acting like a king. In a moment where many aspects of our lives, including aspects of our lives that impact the lives of our service personnel, were being impacted by executive orders on the federal level. When you see the use of the governor's executive orders, and in particular the declaration of a peacetime emergency, can you see them as appropriate in any way, shape, or form moving forward if this bill were to become law?
Representative Roach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. I think we have plenty of opportunity and time for checks and balances. You know, the framers of our Constitution created co-equal branches for that exact reason, to have checks and balances. And what this provides is an opportunity for the legislator to have a voice in the process so we have checks and balances.
Representative Hill, follow up.
Well, I continue to have concerns about how broad the language of the bill is as it currently stands. I thank you for bringing the concept and the idea before us here today, but I think the bill still needs a lot of work. In particular, in a moment where executive orders are prevalent in our lives and in our news cycles, I think that we have a lot of questions that are still unanswered with the bill in its current form. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hemmingson Yeager. Okay. Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Roach, for bringing this issue forward, because I think I've heard concerns all over my district and all over the state over the many executive orders that took place during the COVID issues. And I think this definitely needs to be addressed. And there are areas of this bill I think we could work together and fix to address concerns. But I really appreciate you bringing the issue forward. And I do have a question, and I will stick to the narrow area here, but I'm wondering, so I'll ask my question, but Representative Roach, I'm also wondering if you would add a little more the reasons for this bill, because they're very real, and there were abuses that happened in the powers that took place by a governor, and we should make sure that we have those appropriate checks and balances. So if you could do that. But my question for you is, in the area that deals with the National Guard, are there maybe ways that this bill could be reworded and so that it doesn't conflict with the governor's constitutional responsibilities with the National Guard to address that issue that we're looking at as a committee? But also, I would love to hear just briefly, so time is a factor, why you're bringing this forward. I think there are very good reasons you're bringing the issue forward.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you,
Representative Roach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Bennett. Well, first of all, I'm bringing this forward because this is what got me involved in politics. And I think for many members, both sophomore, freshman class representatives, we had to navigate through the lockdowns, right? And life was very challenging. And to have one individual be able to have so much control and power over many aspects of our lives is what really got me motivated and really got me involved in the political process. It was the tipping point in my life to say, enough is enough. I have to have my voice be heard. You know, I had many, as we know, we have family members. We had our churches shut down, as representatives here can attest to. We weren't allowed. We had many businesses that were shut down, not only for the interim, but for long term. They either fled the state and they shut down completely. We had, you know, business owners that were arrested, had their businesses license taken away, fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. Their whole lives were uprooted and essentially destroyed because of an overreach of the executive branch. And so, you know, my purpose and goal for this bill is to bring some checks and balances to the process. As many of you can attest, you guys did the best you could to try to remove those powers, had over 20 votes with 8 special sessions, and were unable to remove the powers of the executive branch during the lockdowns. And so this is a direct response to the inability of the legislature at the time to be able to reverse the executive the emergency powers that the governor held so tightly. And so this helps, again, put checks and balances in place to, you know, essentially provide some freedom for the citizens of Minnesota to ensure that this won't happen again. And to answer your question as far as the National Guard, I believe amendment that was brought forth kind of outlines the governor's authority over the National Guard. So I don't see where we would have an issue with, you know, the governor's ability to call on the National Guard based on the amendment that was brought forth.
And to that point, I do have an amendment that will address that. So are there any other further questions before we introduce the amendment? All right. Representative Roach, there is language in your bill that conflicts with the Minnesota State Constitution Article 5, Section 3, and states that the governor is the commander-in-chief of the military forces and may call them up. Therefore, I have the A4 amendment that says nothing in this bill limits the governor's constitutional authority over the military. That amendment is in your packages. So if you, is there any discussion on the amendment? Representative Hemmingson Yeager.
Thank you. I was just curious if MDVA has authority as an agency over this, if they have had a chance to like look at this and weigh in and see if it actually does.
I'm not sure if MDVA or Mr. Kerr, either of you have comments on it. And I believe it was passed to Mr. Kerr for the first comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. Mr. Chair, the agency appreciates the language. Clarifying language is almost always helpful, and we certainly believe that this clarifying language would be helpful. It is at some level unnecessary because the constitutional authority of the governor outweighs any statutory attempts to limit that. But we do find clarifying language to be helpful, particularly in instances where there are emergencies. There's always a lot of scrambling to determine where the left and right limits are of legal authority. And having that language, and we'll simplify our process of determining what our rule sets are in the event of an emergency. So the agency appreciates the amendment for the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr. Mr. Kelly?
Thank you, Chair. Again, for the record, John Kelly, Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We have less of an issue. I want to repeat what Mr. Kerr said, but given the amendment and given the constitutional authority of the governor, we feel confident that the governor would be able to call the guard into the homes or respond to a disaster at the homes. So that's, you know, we think we're all right. But, you know, that we also appreciate the amendment.
And Mr. Kelly, you also had another concern with the bill that maybe you could work with the author and work on through a solution on that one. If you could clarify what that problem was.
Right. Thank you, Chair and members. I flagged this for the chair, and you know, happy to meet with the bill author. But you know, it's exactly what I talked about with the questions from Representative Hill. The state soldiers disaster program is in administrative rules. It's not, and it's activated by Chapter 12.31, and so which is repealed in this bill. And so, if it was repealed, we would likely need to do administrative rulemaking to change the reference. I don't know what we could do legislatively beyond a directive with a good cause exemption to quickly do rulemaking to fix the rule, but we are happy to work with folks if this moves forward.
Thank you. Representative Hemmingson-Yeager, any follow-up?
No, thank you. That was helpful.
Representative Ray Brower?
That was fast. Thank you, Chair. This is for the bill author. Question for you. Would you consider the right to operate a business or to attend church to be a core right that would be on par with the other rights that are listed in our Constitution?
And Representative Rivera, I just want to remind everybody that we are limiting our discussion to the military aspects of this bill.
Okay.
Do you still want to ask that question? There's lots more stops that this bill is going to be making.
Okay, we can skip.
All right, thank you. Any further questions on the amendment? All right, all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment prevails. A4 has been adopted. Since this bill was a direct referral to the Veterans and Military Affairs Division by the State Government Affairs Committee under Rule House 6.05, I will lay over House File 26. Thank you, Representative Roach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Appreciate it.
Next bill on our agenda is House File 648. Representative Scraba, I believe that is your bill. Representative Scraba, since you are not a member of this division, I will move your bill before us. We will be laying it over for possible inclusion in omnibus. Please begin your testimony.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm honored to be here in front of you presenting House File 648 and a yet-to-be-introduced bill for a grant program serving disabled veterans. House File 648 is a one-time appropriation to help veterans on the lake with a septic system upgrade at their facility. This upgrade will help their resort capacity, but also help clean Fall Lake, which is attached to the BWCAW. Veterans on the Lake is a nonprofit, one-of-a-kind wilderness resort located just outside of Ely in the Superior National Forest and across the lake from the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Their mission is to reduce barriers, provide safe access for recreational experience for disabled veterans and other disabled persons. It's an incredible place doing amazing work for our veterans. I have two folks here to help testify for this today. Andy Birkenpaws and General Manager, and Eric Marinen, the Board Chair and the Jack of All Trades.
Please, before your testimony, state your name for the record and begin.
My name is Andy Birkenpaws. I am the General Manager for Veterans on the Lake Resort. Chair Bliss and members, I'm honored to be here today, and I'd like to give a big thank you to Representative Scraba for introducing this bill, which funds a grant program helping to connect disabled veterans with Veterans on the Lake Resort in Ely. Thank you to this committee for today's hearing. My experience is 31 years running with Veterans on the Lake Resort, both as a participant, bringing disabled veterans to the Ely, Minnesota Veterans on the Lake out of the Iowa City, Iowa VA healthcare system. They were all spinal cord injured veterans. We would occupy every single cabin at no cost to the veterans for a week. I always said I would like to become the general manager for the facility if it ever opened up, and I'm on year five of being the GM up there. We've made great changes in the past 4 years, and I look forward to more changes to increase adaptability. We do not call it a disability of Veterans on the Lake. We call it differently abled. Where there's a will, there's a way. We are a nonprofit resort focusing on providing disabled veterans, the disabled public, and their families opportunities and inclusion for outdoor recreational activities and mental respite. Our recreational resort is designed to honor those who have contributed and sacrificed for us and our nation, to help them heal from the pain and suffering they endure. We strive to make Veterans on the Lake Resort facilities and outdoor amenities safely accessible and barrier-free. Our organization was founded in 1982. Since then, we have hosted veterans and their guests from 34 states. Most of our guests come from here in Minnesota and include groups from the Minnesota State Veterans Homes in Silver Bay, Minneapolis, Hastings, and Fergus Falls, and the VA Medical Center in St. Cloud and Duluth Vets Clinic. We are truly a statewide institution as veterans from around Minnesota come to our facility for rest and relaxation. Our resort is unique because it caters to disabled veterans and others with physical and mental disabilities. As a nonprofit facility, this recreational location was designed to and currently serves the needs of disabled veterans, able-bodied veterans, active duty military, and their families and friends. The resort setting is unique, and it sits inside the Superior National Forest and adjacent to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area. A vast majority of people using the facilities are disabled veterans and their families. We also have many groups that use the facility, including Fergus Falls and Silver Bay Vets Homes, the Paralyzed Veterans of America, Minnesota Chapter, St. Cloud Vets to the Lake Veterans Home, and Minnesota Sled Hockey, who are disabled young folks. Our facilities are unique, and we have cabins and trails that are fully accessible to wheelchairs. We have pontoon boats and other boats equipped for people with disabilities. You do not find these accommodations at other facilities. We are here to connect those with disabilities and mobility issues with the wilderness. To help support disabled veterans who need this wilderness experience, the legislature in 2021 created this unique grant program that helps connect disabled veterans with the wilderness experience. The legislature has provided funding for this grant program every year since 2021. I want to say personally thank you. And that is directly impacted by Minnesota veterans. That's who qualifies for that grant. The appropriation will help us continue to provide opportunities for more disabled American veterans to have therapeutic wilderness experience in northern Minnesota. We are here today to thank all of you for considering Representative Scraba's legislation to continue this incredible grant program created by the legislature in 2021. And I do have some lodging numbers if you'd care to hear them from last year.
Sure, go ahead.
We report directly to the United States Forest Service. Our total occupancy last year at the resort was 4,595 people. Our veteran occupancy was 88%. Of that, 71% of those were disabled veterans. 41% was a group use. Active duty military was 6%. Able-bodied veterans, 9%. Non-veteran walk-ins was only 3%. And our youth was at 9%. And that's directly affected by the Minnesota Wild Sled Hockey kids that come up and are able to use our facility in off-peak times.
Thank you. And the next testifier, please state your name and begin your testimony.
My name is Eric Marinan, and I'm chairman of the board of Veterans on the Lake Resort. I appreciate Representative Scraba sponsoring our bill. The bill you have before you at this point in time is 648, I believe, Mr. Chair.
Yes, members. It is.
And that bill is a $200,000 grant. We had a project. It's in the works. We're about to award the bids tomorrow for the building of this building. During the process of the building permit, it was discovered that our septic system, which was fully functional, was non-conforming. So that bumped the project up from an estimated $800,000 to close to $1 million, another $200,000 for the septic system. And we were prepared as a resort to contribute about 20% to this project. But with that additional cost, now our share would be close to 40%. And so that's why we're here with 648 to address that shortcoming in our planning, so to speak. I was quite surprised when the price tag came in at that much for a septic system to serve six bedrooms.
Six.
But as Representative Scrubber mentioned, that will protect the water system that runs into the boundary waters. And we're moving forward. What we're doing with that older cabin is we're bringing it up to ADA standards and giving it an opportunity to for the disabled, enhancing basically increasing our disabled veteran capacity at the resort and disabled public capacity at the resort. That's the focus of that project. And as I mentioned, it's in the works right now. And we're going to keep moving forward as best we can.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
The other bill, which...
we'll talk about next, after.
After? Okay. So that's... Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you, Mr. Marin. Are there any questions for the testifier or the author? Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Scriber, you're on the Capital Investment Committee, too, so I'm just curious, are you also seeking capital investment funds for this project, too?
Thank you, Representative Zhang. Chair, it's not as clean of a bill for GO bond for capital investment. If it finds a path, the path it might find is through legacy, if there's no funding here. It's sort of an emergency thing. They had this started this spring or this fall, and they were like, what are we going to do? And everyone around was like, we got to help solve this problem. So we're coming through this committee to show that it is a need and it's something we have to have. But that there is a different path that we're going to try to follow if we can't get it through here.
Representative Raybauer, did you have a question?
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you, Representative Scraba, for bringing forward a bill here that's going to directly benefit our veterans. And just a question. For our testifiers, what are some of the positive benefits you've seen in veterans staying at your facility?
Representative Scraba.
I guess, you know, we have another bill after this that I put them both in the basket. One made it, one didn't. Have no idea where it's at, what happened to it. But they're here, so we kind of want to an informational for the scholarship. Director Andy spoke a little bit about it, but I'll let you guys answer either question. Either of you can answer the question.
I'll take the lead on this one.
And please state your name again.
Eric Marinan.
Eric.
Chairman of the Board, Veterans on the Lake Resort, and Chairman and members of the committee. The bill that you haven't heard, which is really an opportunity for veterans to come to the resort on a scholarship. And that scholarship, I'd like to thank this committee and really everybody for supporting this since 2021. Since 2021, we've received $50,000 a year for scholarships, and we've used, and what's through the Minnesota Veterans Affairs They set criteria. They need a, basically, the scholarship money's there. We need to prove, we need to do the paperwork to make sure that they've got a DD 214, that they're a Minnesota resident, confirming that through utility bills, Minnesota driver's license, or other identification, whatever it may be. And so we orchestrate that with our staff at the resort. And then we offer them a three-night at the resort. They stay, they fish, guides. Our staff and the guides are well aware of people with disabilities. We developed ice fishing houses that are wheelchair accessible. We utilize pontoon boats that have no seats in them. It's just a floor. We've developed pontoon boats with a console where the wheelchair occupant can literally drive the boat. And we bring these people from different organizations in different parts of the state, and we get them to the resort. And initially, some of them are standoffish, sit in the back corner, but usually by the end of night two, they're playing cards till 2 a.m. and enjoying the comradeship. And when you sit in the lunchroom with them, they talk about, well, I'm having trouble getting this. And then somebody will pipe up, well, I worked through this person, and here's a phone number, and you can probably get that done. And the interaction between the multiple generations of veterans, there's veterans from the Vietnam War. I think we had somebody from Korea, didn't we?
We did last year.
Yeah, last year we had somebody from a Korean War vintage, Vietnam War vintage, and right down multiple generations that have been deployed. And they all work together. They all become friends, make contacts. And that's really directed towards your question, Representative, that's what the resort gives. It gives people an opportunity to come. And as what was the percentage on the groups, Andy?
71%.
71% are groups, bigger groups that come up in the group. It might be a veterans home. It might be the PVA for the United States, DVA. There's a number of organizations, and they all come up, and they can interact. And we try and basically, I feel we treat them like they don't have a disability.
If I could just, if you have any questions on the $200,000 bill that's before us, we'll go to this one, and I'll make sure you're the first. Okay, go ahead.
Just a quick comment. Thank you so much. I just wanted to hear the human side, because sometimes it's like, yes, this is a repair for a septic system, but there's a reason why it's important, and the facility has to run in order for that to happen. And so thank you so much for sharing.
We'll be going to that bill next, but I want to make sure we just do the house cleaning and move this bill that's before us for the septic system on. So are there any questions for the testifiers or Representative Scraba on the septic system? No? Representative Scraba, you want to have closing remarks?
No, just thank you.
All right. House File 648 is laid over for possible inclusion. All right, now you guys can remain there. We have, in addition to your bill we just heard, it's my understanding you'll be dropping a bill that gives veterans on the lake an appropriation for the work they do with veterans.
Yes.
And go ahead, and since it hasn't been introduced yet, but you guys are here, go ahead and talk about it.
As an informational, I just want everyone to know, as it turned in the beginning, these folks asked for $50,000 each year, so it's a $100,000 bill. And I was like, we need more than that. It's very beneficial, but I wanted to drop a bill with $100,000 a year. And you know what happened in the state, there's just no money anywhere. So rather than raise it up, we brought it back down. The Senate version got put in, my version didn't. So it's coming. But the idea is these scholarships that the gentlemen have been speaking about, any veteran, and there are a lot of them. As we know, the homeless veterans are, that keeps getting up, and it's like we keep helping them, getting them housing, do the best we can. This is a program, when they find out about it,
it spreads like wildfire amongst veterans. Like, oh, we can go up north. And to get a wheelchair on a pontoon boat, you either have to lift the pontoon boat or lift the person, one of the two. And the jack of all trades figures what to do next, with Andy's help, of course. But I'll let these guys talk a little bit more about what the scholarship really does.
Thank you. And remember, this is an informational, and we'll have another hearing once the other bill comes forward. Okay. Just briefly, if you could, your name again.
Chair Bliss, Andy Birkenpess, General Manager of Veterans on Lake Resort. Some of the groups that we'd served through the past grant cycle were Vets R Us, Veterans of Steel, the Fleet Reserve Association, Memories Made Guide Service, the Veterans Resource and Enrichment Center, the Minnesota Military Softball Appreciation Foundation, the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, and Capable Partners. These are all new groups that came on our last grant cycle. And there's more that are coming out of the woodwork once they hear about the work that we're doing and the accessibility that we have.
Thank you. Any other testifiers? State your name and begin.
Yes, Chair Bliss, members, Paul McDonald. I'm a St. Louis County Commissioner, and I reside in Ely, Minnesota, not far from the Veterans on the Lake Resort. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of on this informational hearing today to provide Veterans on the Lake with $50,000 annually for a scholarship program that will bring disabled veterans to the resort, giving them access to the healing and recreational opportunities this remarkable resort offers. As a commissioner in St. Louis County, I have firsthand seen the importance of supporting those who have served our country, particularly those who face disabilities because of their service. Veterans on the Lake is more than just a retreat. It is a place where veterans can reconnect, heal, and experience the camaraderie they so deserve. The state-sponsored scholarship program, which this state legislature created in 2021 and continued in this proposed legislation, will make it possible for more disabled veterans to access these life-changing experiences without financial barriers. This is a smart investment in the well-being of our veterans, and I urge your support of the previous bill, House File 648, and the yet-to-be-introduced grant program to ensure that Veterans on the Lake continues its mission of serving those who have sacrificed so much for our nation. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Did you want to briefly speak on this, Representative?
Mr. Chair, members, I think I covered it when I answered the question of what benefits there are, but I would like to make one comment on 648.
Sure.
The appropriations before you on the septic system. The replacement of that building, it's not a want, it's a need. And so this additional $200,000 within that project cost was something we didn't foresee, and it needs to be done in order to accomplish what we need to accomplish. All right. That's all.
Thank you. Are there any questions on this particular bill, Representative Clarity? You have a quick question?
Maybe more of a comment and a request, but I last term I was really excited about this and really excited about the project that you're doing. And I know the importance of having that social capital, just like an example you gave where someone was there and they're able to, you know, talk to someone else and find another resource. So next time you come back, if you could bring some more of the demographic things down, because I'm really interested in how beauties like this, treasures like this are being discovered and who's actually utilizing it. So, thank you very much for what you're doing.
Representative Feist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. This is just a wonderful service to the community. I'm really interested in this scholar, Robert Putnam. There's a recent documentary about him called Join or Die. He's the guy who wrote Bowling Alone. And he looks at the ways that we as a society are becoming less connected. We, like, he has all these stats on the website. There's a 60% decline since the 70s in, like, picnicking. Like, there are just all these ways that we used to connect with one another that for some reason we're not doing anymore. And what you described and the way that people connect and the way they, like, come with reservations and discomfort but then come together is just really heartwarming. So thank you for what you're doing.
Representative Scrabo, just closing.
Yeah, I testified here a couple years ago for very similar. I still believe that Veterans on the Lake should have a full-time psychologist and to go on the pontoon rides to help, to be there, just to be there and help someone. You know, we have the VA in town right now, really good, but this place brings groups together, and it works. So any help we can get from the legislature will be beneficial to the veterans.
Thank you, Representative Scriber, for describing your bill. The next bill on our agenda is House File 532. This is my bill. Vice Chair Olson, will you assume the gavel?
All right, Mr. Chair, would you like to move your bill before us? And it's my understanding that we'll be laying it over for possible inclusion in this omnibus.
That's correct. That is my motion.
Please begin your testimony, Mr. Chair.
This bill appropriates $150,000 in fiscal years 26 and 27 from the general fund to the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs for Veterans Retreats at Camp Bliss in Walker, Minnesota. This bill dictates how the funds must be used by the grant recipient who is eligible to attend the camp with grant funds and the rate of reimbursement for each participant. And I have to just state every time I talk about this bill, this has nothing to do with me, my family, or anything. It is just a name that we share. So that's and it's a wonderful name.
Yes.
I want to start out by saying I've visited this resort and spoken to some of the veterans that have utilized the services, and it is amazing. The resort is beautiful, and it's specifically for the veterans in our state. I've got some testifiers here that will go into more detail and the impact it has on our veterans.
Excellent. To the testifiers, would you please state your name for the record and then begin your testimony?
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Kara Ruff, and I'm the executive director of Camp Bliss. Camp Bliss is actually a subsidiary of Independent Lifestyles, which is a nonprofit. Camp Bliss is a nonprofit that serves people with disabilities. That was established in 1997, and in our work, we began to work with a lot of veterans because we're in central Minnesota, so St. Cloud area, the VA, and recognized the need that so many veterans were suffering and in need of healing retreats so they can reacclimate into society or just gain some skills and functioning back. I want to thank you and Representative Bliss for authoring this bill and for hearing 532 today. Camp Bliss is really a transformational retreat center. And I think as we continue to recognize the sacrifices of our servicemen and women, it's essential that we not only honor them, but offer meaningful support. So at our retreat center, we offer a whole wide variety of retreats. We want to meet the veterans where they're at. So we're always asking them, what is it that you need? And out of that, we've developed so many unique experiences from equine therapy to ice fishing to regular fishing to a turkey hunt to our veterans and spouses retreats, family retreats, which have all been enormously successful and impactful. Camp Bliss is necessary because these retreats provide the mental health support that veterans need, the family reconnections of veterans. As we know, it's not just the veteran that serves, but their spouse and their families. a safe, supportive environment for many veterans. Civilian life can feel really isolating. And we offer a place where they feel understood by others who share similar experiences, surrounded by their peers who have faced similar challenges. We offer the physical health and well-being, often resulting from injuries sustained during service, can be an obstacle in leading a fulfilling life. So the impact of the retreats, let's get to that. The potential benefits of the retreats provided by Camp Bliss are far-reaching. By addressing the emotional, mental, and physical health of the veterans and their families, Camp Bliss will contribute to stronger families, more resilient individuals, and a healthier veteran population. Moreover, retreats help reduce the reliance on healthcare services, decrease emergency room visits, and lead to fewer mental health crises in the veteran community. Since the last biennium, we have served over 350 veterans and family members in 27 retreats. We have five more scheduled before the end of the session, which will bring our total to roughly 404 individuals who have participated in 2 or 3 day healing retreats. We have about a 99% rate of attendees say they were able to improve their well-being or enhance their coping skills during their experience. And in addition to that, we also end up paying for another 50 veterans who did not qualify to the MDVA requirements. But because we have a policy if we don't turn down any veteran, we do fundraising, private fundraising, so that we don't turn them down. You know, one of the reasons we started this, because our veteran staff was flying around the country trying to find good retreats. And so just in the last 6 months, we have had calls from North Dakota, San Diego, Washington, Florida, North Carolina, Missouri, New Orleans, and New York, from veterans desperately wanting retreat opportunities like this to attend. We did actually have 2 fly in from California just a month ago, and they paid their own way, of course, and but they wanted to come so badly they were willing to do that. So I think that speaks volumes. Today, I'm asking for your support, ensuring that Camp Bliss receives the necessary funding and legislative backing to provide these retreats for veterans and their families. It's an investment in long-term health and well-being of our veterans who have already given so much for our country. Providing them with the resources they need to heal, reconnect, and thrive is not just an act of kindness. It's a need, and it's a responsibility that I think we all share. In conclusion, your commitment allows Camp Bliss to be a sanctuary for those who have sacrificed so much in their service to our nation. But now for the best part, actually hearing from veterans who have participated in our retreats, I would like to introduce our first one. Lieutenant Colonel Ross DeCray.
Sir, would you please state your name for the record and then begin your testimony?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and the committee. For the record, my name is Ross DeCray. I'm a lieutenant colonel from the United States Air Force, retired, and Vietnam vet, and continued my service through Vietnam, Desert Storm, and I retired right around the Desert Storm side of life as far as the time frame went. I had the opportunity to be up at Camp Bliss a couple years ago during the summer, and it was one of the more rewarding experiences I've ever seen, not only for myself, but for the number of veterans that were there. It's not a large capacity. They tone it down to 22 people at a time, I believe. And it really works out well that way. It was probably the best I've seen, and probably the best not only in the state of Minnesota, but I've traveled all over the United States and the world. And this is one of the best run and best facilities I've seen anywhere. It's just unbelievable. It's very helpful from a disabled standpoint, but I think the setup that I've seen there helps the vets and the families with their journey in recovering from whatever may be out there, from the hidden jewels of a military service that a lot of people don't realize until some of them get out and they realize, you know what, I got some problems here and I need to get this kind of taken care of. The camaraderie that develops amongst veterans, it's been mentioned in some earlier hearings, is unbelievable. But the lack of formality that's up at this place, and the relaxed atmosphere brings out a much better environment for people to be able to do things than you see at a lot of some of the VA programs where there's still that formality that's involved. Keep it pretty short and just from the heart. The discussion, the hearings, not hearings, but the healing that goes on with the other veterans as everybody's able to interact is just a tremendous asset from Camp Bliss. You never see that kind of stuff when you go to a formal government VA type forum that's involved. The openness that happens is crazy. State-of-the-art facility, there's things have been upgraded through the years to the point where it's top-notch. And it's very impressive in the facilities and the ability where they take the local community, get some of the guides up at Leech Lake, go out on the boat. A real good example of the closeness that's involved with that is I was on the boat, and the guide happened to also be a Vietnam veteran, and the whole boat that was involved, meaning a fishing boat with about four of us on there, we were all Vietnam vets, and two of the vets who were both having a lot of trouble, about my age, and they still were carrying a lot. They'd never opened up with another person about some of their stuff in Vietnam. And it just so happened that the guy that was our guide was a helicopter medic that saved basically one of the guys as he brought him out of the jungle. And there's that kind of closeness. So thank you. And it is a need. It's not a want that we need some money for things. I think the need is there for helping people out. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir, for your testimony and for your service. To the next testifier, would you please state your name for the record and begin your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Jesse Sprint. I served in the Army as an infantryman and deployed to Afghanistan in 2009. Like a lot of guys, I was physically and mentally damaged by the experience. After I got out in 2010, I found it very difficult to reintegrate myself into society. I had trouble finding help and dealing with my situation and even in describing the difficulties I was experiencing. As a result, I kept to myself for many years. Someone gave me a brochure from Camp Bliss a few years ago. I registered for a couples retreat with my wife. The day of the event, we arrived, said hello, and then got in our car and left as the situation was too overwhelming for me. Kara told me to come back anytime. After a year or so, we tried again and were able to stay the whole time. Since then, I have attended two ice fishing events, one last year and one this year. Camp Bliss has offered me a safe respite from the daily struggles of dealing with life after war. But more importantly, Camp Bliss has offered me the opportunity to interact with people with similar life experiences and often similar situations as myself. Being able to let your guard down a little in a place that you feel safe is something I am very grateful for. Outside of my home, Camp Bliss is the only place I can say I have that opportunity. Since I've been attending Camp Bliss events, I've been able to more fully integrate myself into society and have returned to becoming a productive member of our glorious democracy. A large part of my success is due to the hard work done by Kara and Lori and all the volunteers at Camp Bliss. Their efforts to help veterans such as myself is truly indispensable. If we are going to continue to ask our young men and women to endure the hardships of war, we need to provide them with a place to recover from their experiences. Camp Bliss is that place. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony and for your service. To the next testifier, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Kirsten Whitman. I served in the Army from 2003 to 2013. I am a 60% rated disabled veteran, and I am here in support of House File 532 because Camp Bliss changed my life. 2 years ago, I was a hot mess. I only found Camp Bliss because their female veteran getaway advertises alcohol-free, and as a brand new person in sobriety, it sounded like the only place I could reconnect with veterans in a space that sounded safe. I went to my first weekend, April 2023, and just like getting off the bus at basic training, I didn't know anybody, I didn't know what I was getting into, and almost against my will, it helped me grow and get better.
When I first went, I was not rated as disabled by the VA. I had not begun any of the intensive therapy that this program would inspire me to take on, addressing the things that pushed me out of the service and affected me ever since. Being around other female veterans, who are some of my favorite people, offered me guidance and support to approach the very intimidating VA system. In the years since, I have started getting my care at the VA. I've gone back 2 more times to Camp Bliss to maintain my strong friendships and welcome new participants. And without this grant, I could not afford to attend a weekend like this because, like many women who serve, I tend to prioritize my time and money to my family and community, often putting myself last. And even being in a better space and having VA access now, this program is important to my ongoing health because Camp Bliss offers healing that can't be billed or built into therapy sessions. Because healing is chatting with friends in bunk beds at Lights Out. Healing is walking in the Northwood trails with the only other women in the world who've been in my boots. And healing is meditating and writing and painting while listening to a playlist called Cowgirls at Tiki Bars. The format and the staff at Camp Bliss has facilitated phenomenal events that allow us to open up naturally at our own pace and as one group. And this program still offers one of the only few female-only veteran programs in the state. And while it all sounds really fun and fluffy, I can guarantee that this investment by the state into the program is paying back in dividends to have Minnesota veterans who are happy, healed, and giving back in service to our families and friends in the way that we were able to do when we were enlisted. I am so grateful that Kara asked me to speak today and in support of this phenomenal program that we are so fortunate to have in Walker, Minnesota. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so very much for your testimony and for your service. Seeing no other testifiers, we are going to move on to questions. Does anyone have any questions for Chair Bliss or for the other testifiers? Representative Clardy has a question.
Again, thank you. This is a beautiful program. I just looked at pictures online. What a delightful resort, because a lot of times resorts are not as high caliber as this, so I really appreciate that, and that's what our military and veterans deserve, yeah, because they've worked hard for us. The therapy aspect is huge. I have a degree in psychology. I also know how that works. My question to you specifically is, I see that you open it up to public things, like for weddings and corporate events and family reunions, et cetera. What's the percentage on that? And are they like separate facilities? Just curious.
Great question, Mr. Chair.
Please go ahead.
Representative, thank you so much. First of all, if you haven't seen Camp Bliss, I certainly encourage you to do that. And I take so much pride in that because we started this with no funding at all. We raised the funds for years to try and do this, but I said, I'm not going to do it unless it's top-notch. Our veterans deserve top-notch quality facilities, you know? And so we really pride ourselves on that, and we've spent thousands and thousands of dollars making accessibility accommodations as well, so we have accessible paths to the lake and bathrooms and all of that type of thing. Because we started it with no other help or assistance, right? We've been funded, through this committee since 2021. But before that, we were looking desperately to find other ways to bring in revenue to do this programming. And that's why we opened it up for corporate retreats or private rentals. And so now we do that pretty much June, July, and August only. And retreats are September through beginning of June. So majoritively it's that. It's just about 2.5 months that we try and get public in there and public rentals, because we have to pay for lots more. So yeah.
For the follow up, Representative Clardy. Is there...
Thank you. Again, not to be the broken record, but I also would love to see kind of a breakdown of demographics of who's utilizing it. I was really pleased to hear the other testifiers saying that a women's veterans group is instrumental there. So that's the kind of data I'm looking for. So,
Mr. Chair and Representative, I just want to reiterate, yes, we and I can break that down, but last year we served, we will have served 404 veterans, 46 spouses, and 30 children under that, and then I can break down further next time how many come to each retreat. And I would like to add also the retreats that Kirsten was referring to the ones where we go pretty deep, the women's retreats. Those are limited to 10 because we can't facilitate that kind of help and healing in a group of 22, right? Or it's a lot harder when you go that deep. We dig a lot deeper on those retreats. So some of them are 5 to 10, and the bigger fishing ones are 22.
Any further questions or discussion? Representative Duran.
It's not really a question, it's just a comment. And I want everybody to be aware of some of the things that are offered here, and that's, you know, the family members, they're able to go with the veterans there. So when I was in Afghanistan, my daughter was born. So I met my daughter when she was 5 months old. Mm-hmm. So my wife had to raise my kid for the first 5 months knowing that I was in a combat zone. And if you know anything, you know, about Afghanistan, especially in the Sangin province, it was pretty tough. And it was something where she had to worry about, you know, the doors, you know, knocking on the doors and stuff like that. So, you know, having this ability to have, you know, the veterans go to a place and also have stuff offered for the spouses is great, because once you get into this community, it's knowing that, knowing that other people have gone through some of the same things that you've gone through, it's easier for someone to, you know, on the psychological side of things, it's easier to break that stuff through. So, programs like this are huge, especially in veterans, but not only that, for the family members as well. So it's a big thing, especially for veterans and then for their wives as well, or spouses, sorry. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion or questions for the testifiers or for the chair? Seeing none, any closing remarks? Chair Bliss.
In the interest of time, I'll just say it's a wonderful program, and I will save my closing remarks until after the next program, because they could all be applied to that as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair Bliss. And with that, House File 532 is laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you very much. The final bill on our agenda today is House File 492. Representative Hill, I believe that is your bill. And since you are a member of this division, would you like to move your bill before us? We'll be laying it over for possible inclusion in an omnibus.
Yes, thank you, Chair Bliss. That would be the motion.
All right. And please explain your bill.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chair Bliss and members. Have before you today a House File 492. And this is a bill that's seeking to make an appropriation to Hometown Heroes Outdoors, and I'm proud to have a couple of testifiers with me here today on behalf of this bill. Hometown Hero Outdoors is an organization that seeks to provide veterans and active military personnel with therapeutic outdoor experiences that follow, with fellow veterans and service members. And it's all done to combat the tidal wave of mental health challenges that are impacting those who have answered the call for our nation. Hometown Heroes Outdoors is a proven organization with an incredible track record. It gets our service members and veterans active in outdoor activity and serves as a conduit for connecting people with similar experiences. Together, they can build community, and it's all in an effort to combat mental health challenges facing our heroes today. Now, much like the previous few bills, you're going to hear some common themes and some common words. We're talking a lot about connections. We're talking a lot about spending time outdoors with people who have similar experiences. But in the end, we're talking about healing. And so as we move forward, I want to turn it over to the president of Hometown Hero Outdoors, Chris Tetro, who's going to share more about the program. And later we're going to hear from Matt Dietner, who serves as the chaplain of the U.S. Army Reserves.
Mr. Tetro, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you. My name is Chris Tetro. I am the president of Hometown Hero Outdoors. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that's based in Stillwater, Minnesota. We started in 2017, so we've been very successful. A little bit about myself. I served as a Minnesota Red Bull myself. In 2003, I deployed to Bosnia. In 2005, with the 1st BCT to Iraq for a 22-month deployment. And since then, we found a need in our communities to help our fellow military service members, veterans, and first responders. And obviously, today, we're here to talk about our military side. So we're here to advocate for funding for House File 492 to support outdoor recreation for our military service members and veterans. Since we have been founded in 2017, we have taken approximately 2,700 people out of 5,700 people across the 26 states that we work in. 2,700 of those have been in Minnesota. Approximately 85% of those individuals are military service members or veterans. These trips are just not recreation. They are therapy for PTSD, depression, and suicide prevention. And why does this matter? I know you've all heard these stats before, but if I have a moment to talk about them, I will. 22 veterans die by suicide every day in the U.S. 1 in 4 post-9/11 veterans struggle with PTSD. And according to the 2022 National Veteran Suicide Prevention Annual Report, 60% of veterans who die by suicide have never accessed VA mental health care. Many avoid the traditional therapies that are available to them due to stigma and barriers to access. In 2020, 60.3% of veterans who died by suicide had not recently used the VA mental health services. So what do? Outdoor recreation is a solution. Veterans need alternative community-driven solutions, and research has indicated that recreational activities can significantly improve mental health among veterans. A study that was funded by the Sierra Club in cooperation with the Veterans Affairs, as well as the University of Michigan, found that participation in group outdoor activities like camping, hiking, snowmobiling, snowboarding, led to long-term psychological well-being for veterans. HHO provides hunting, fishing, hiking, snowmobiling, ATVing, hot air balloons. We've done dog sled rides. We leverage some of the resorts that you've, or the groups that you recently heard in the previous bills, to be able to leverage and use these outdoor recreational activities. Some of the other things that we like to do for inclusion as well as including family members in these outdoor adventures, as well as additional people who might be in their extended family due to the lost time that they've had due to the military service. We have a proven impact report that we do. Previous to all of our outdoor adventures or trips, we do a post-trip survey a pre- and post-trip survey. And I'm just going to share some of those outcomes that we have. 74.1% of participants report excellent mental health after an HHO trip, which is a 38% increase. 77.7% experience significant stress reduction, and 94.4% say they will continue to engage in outdoor activities. We even had one participant who indicated that they hadn't left their house in months, and after their HHO trip, they finally felt like they had a purpose again. Our goal is to get people off the couch. Isolation's a killer. And that's what we're trying to do, is to get individuals into the outdoors with like-minded individuals, establish camaraderie, and be able to help engage with them in the outdoors, teach them new healthy habits, and be able to go out and do these things on their own. One thing that we do implement is, because we have created a strong relationship with individuals in the outdoors, it's often that they reach out to us after a trip where they might be struggling. So we started to utilize a program called Assist Training, which is Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training. They might be going through a spurt of depression or having an issue with PTSD, or they might be even suicidal, and that has happened. So we began to leverage this Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, which is a two-day training, because we are not mental health professionals, but we felt like we owed it to them to have a little bit more training under our belt to carry that ball further for them to help them. So during this two-day training, we go through an extensive amount of engagement when it comes to crisis intervention, but we make ourselves available to those who either may be on a trip that may be in crisis or outside of that trip. Why funding is needed? HHO operates with 90% of funds going directly to those programs, so we value the dollar and spread as far as we can. Our demand far exceeds our resources, and legislative support would be very helpful. We can expand our outdoor therapy programs, train more assist responders, and reach more veterans that are in need. We're going to talk about the appropriation and how we plan to spend that or utilize that. So 50% is going to go back to our outdoor adventures, directly getting Minnesota military service members, veterans in the outdoors, spending those dollars in the communities local to them by hiring guides and outfitters, resorts, or other programs that are local. 30% is going to go towards additional assist training or other mental health support. We're going to train more of our volunteers with Train the Trainer, so we're able to do more in-house stuff and keep those costs down, but also to hire people who do have the mental health training professionals in the community. We have began to work with individuals like another nonprofit called Abijah on the Backside out of Canterbury Park. They do equine therapy with retired racehorses, and it's a very proven method that works. And we also partner with another individual called Brittany Misquick. Her name is Brittany. She is a suicidologist, and she specializes in suicide to keep people here with us, but also specializes in helping with military service members and veterans. We're also looking at partnering with another individual up in the St. Cloud area, and I have another contact up in the Ely area that I'm looking to leverage with too. So the funding would be able to do some healing with them outside of the adventures that we have to help get that them the additional care that they need. One thing I want to touch on about why that's important is some of our individuals that we serve, there's a stigma with utilizing certain systems such as the VA. Not that the VA is not good, they're doing their best, but there are people who really have difficulties going to the VA. Also, if they are currently serving, using programs that might be in-house are still connected to potentially their employment, and we offer an ability for them to have that treatment outside of their employment because there is a stigma that maybe they're not being organic with what they have to say because it's going to impact their longevity within their career based on the fact that they may share things that may be potentially harming to their career in the long term. It's not that those matters are not important and they should be sharing those. It's just how they share them and when they share them. So in closing, I'm sorry, I didn't hit the rest of that appropriation. So 10% is going to go to additional growth and outreach. How do we find more veterans and service members in the state? And then the other 10% is going to go towards additional administrative costs, like helping with our website, putting our trips and experiences and events on there, as well as our insurance, attorney's fees, whatnot. We actually have a 5-person team for our finances called ABDO, one of the leading nonprofit finance firms in the state for it. So we are very on top of our books and transparency as that goes. But for that, I just want to say thank you for your time. Hometown Hero Outdoors, absolutely love what we do. We have the need that's here and it's immediate. And we pride ourselves in being able to create these connections in the outdoors and be able to keep here people that have served with us to serve another day. Thank you.
Thank you. Next testifier, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Matthew Deitner. I'm a chaplain in the U.S. Army Reserve. Like Chris, I also wore the Red Bull for about 13 years before continuing my career in the Army Reserve. Mr. Chair of Representatives, thank you for the opportunity to discuss this bill this morning. The bill that would allocate the funding to Hometown Hero Outdoors. So as a chaplain in the Army Reserve, I see veterans every day. Every time I'm in uniform, they're struggling with their mental health. Chris cited a lot of those statistics, and I'm sure that you are all aware of those as well. They open up to me as a chaplain. I'm a confidential listener within the Army. They open up to me about what they face, both in and out of uniform. You're all aware of the statistics that show them struggling with higher rates of depression and PTSD than the rest of the population. I, from my perspective, as a chaplain, that many cases go undiagnosed, and our veterans do rely on those community supports and their community network to get them through hard times. There is a stigma still about going to some of the more formal supports that are in place. Those formal supports, such as the VA, are much needed, but many veterans will rely on the community supports that nonprofit organizations like Hometown Hero Outdoors provides. So I'm sure you're aware of the many health benefits of simply being outdoors. It is therapy. The primary mission of HHO is to provide a variety of outdoor experiences. Personally, I've been waterfowl hunting, fishing both ice and open water, pheasant hunting, and horseback riding through the opportunities offered to me. My son has been able to accompany me on a couple of those trips as well. The outcomes of those trips, though, include improved well-being and stronger community bonds. HHO provides the space to really build that community and that support. This starts with the event that someone may attend and goes far beyond that. My first trip with HHO came in the fall of 2021. The hunting sucked. Where that was the waterfowl trip, over that entire weekend, nothing came into range. That afforded us the opportunity for a whole lot more conversation, though. And to this day, 3 years later, we still have that group chat running. We're still the primary people that we lean on when there's hard times. Shortly after that trip, one of those members went through a divorce, and he considered taking his life. We were the first ones to he reach out to. We were the ones able to provide him some support to get him through that difficult time. through deaths in the family, other divorces within that group, and various hard times, that group has bonded and provided support to each other. And HHO was the network that helped us bring us together and form that community. So in closing, I'd say that HHO has the personnel, they have the infrastructure in place to train their trip leaders and other volunteers and assists and other mental health first aid as those trip leaders are interacting with those veterans. Through access to funding, HHO is going to be able to train more of their network and suicide intervention skills and partner with mental health professionals to deliver the care that veterans need. HHO already has the passionate staff that wants to care for veterans. They have that passionate staff in place. They have the leadership that's going to administer those funds well and honestly and transparently. This bill is going to provide the funding to help further the mission and give veterans a source of support in those difficult times. Thank you.
Thank you. Now for member questions and Representative Clarity, you had a comment or a question?
First of all, I had coffee this morning, so I apologize. But another wonderful program. I love that you're creating another safe space. And then as representative or co-chair, vice chair, whatever, Bjorn Olson, you're talking about like the suicidal ideation and the power of just getting away and getting that therapy and in that safe space. That's amazing. Another aspect that you didn't lift up that I really like about your program is that it's also open to first responders, because I can just see a lot of the correlation with, you know, the needing of the safe space and then the, you know, the emotional PTSD that they've gone to. So thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? Representative Duran.
I actually really like this program, looking into it. I think you guys adapt to a lot of the situations that are going on within veterans. So creating an environment where veterans feel comfortable to be able to release a lot more of their feelings when they desperately need to is critical for helping them. So thank you very much, Representative, for bringing this bill. I'm going to support it all the way. I have strong feelings toward this, obviously, so being a combat veteran myself and having individuals who have committed suicide that I know is a big deal. It really is. And then also being a first responder involved in a critical incident as well, It all wraps into one, right? Like you have that one-stop shop, and I really like that a lot. So thank you very much for bringing this up, and I'm going to support it all the way. Thank you.
Any further questions, comments? Representative Hill, your final remarks, please.
Thank you, Chair Bliss, and thank you, committee members, for the opportunity to present this bill. Yes, we're very proud of the companion bill that we had heard last week in Public Safety Committee, and have high hopes for an appropriation to continue that great work with first responders. I think one thing to highlight here is that the folks that work within and with Hometown Hero Outdoors are unpaid volunteers. And they go through this training and they enter into this mission to support the healing of our heroes around us in each community. And so we again ask for the appropriation for Hometown Heroes. I want to thank our presenters here today for their great work and for sharing their stories, and we thank you for the time.
Thank you. And I want to just state briefly, you know, I mentioned that I didn't want to do my closing remarks for the previous bill because it could be easily said for this bill as well. These organizations are critical to our veterans and their families. And I really do appreciate everything you guys do and Kara and her crew. It's amazing, and the results that you get are far better than what we could hope for in other places. I think the fact that you're in a non-sterile environment, you know, the VA is a wonderful place, but when you walk in there, it's a little intimidating. So being out in the outdoors and on the lakes and hunting and with your comrades, your family, your brothers and sisters. And I know that's tough for military families sometimes to understand, why can't you, you know, open up to me? I'm your wife. I'm your husband. And for them to be included in this and to see you and have the other folks there with you, I think it's critical. And again, to Representative Olson's move to make our committee more suicide-focused. I think these organizations and projects are critical in that. So I do appreciate it, and thank you. And this bill is now laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you. And as a brief aside, I want to thank everybody in the committee for a very respectful committee hearing today. It went as our committee hearings are supposed to go, and I thank you very much for that. And our next meeting of Veterans Affairs, Veterans and Military Affairs Division will be March 5th, 2025 at 8:15. There being no further business before the division today, this meeting is adjourned.